science, and we can't yet. Absolutely not. Stand aside for a moment, Hamilton Nolan writes in these times, that we could set aside politics and operate based on common sense. What would the federal government do best to mitigate the devastation this pandemic will visit upon human beings? It would at first provide free health care to everyone. It would distribute medical resources nationally based on the greatest need. Then to protect people from necessary economic deep freeze we are all in due to social distancing, the government would pursue measures that would get everyone through this time in one piece. It would subsidize the nation's payrolls so that workers could stay in their jobs and businesses could restart easily. It would suspend rent for people and businesses alike. It would send everyone a monthly basic income to pay for necessities until this is over, and would avoid allowing small businesses to go bankrupt because those represent millions of jobs that people need to return to. And speaking for myself, I agree with his assessment. And you can find it in InTheseTimes.com. And look at that. I've run out of time for Press Watch. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. We're going out to you via 90.7 FM on our great big red and white transmitter on the Hill and other frequencies elsewhere in Cascadia. And we're also going out to you via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, KBOO will be sticking to our regularly scheduled programming as much as possible, but there are some limitations that we're working with, so we appreciate your understanding and support. We are committed to keeping our staff, volunteers, and programmers safe and healthy, so we are transitioning to producing programs remotely. For updates on KBOO's response to the COVID-19 pandemic, visit our website at kboo.fm/COVID-19. That's kboo.fm/COVID-19.
KBOO.
At KBOO, we think that all communities deserve to be fully informed on the policies and decisions that will impact their lives, and we need your help to make that happen. We're looking for citizen journalists to help collect, report, and broadcast the news. Do you think that there are groups that are underrepresented or marginalized by the mainstream media? Are you aware of social, political, or environmental activities that don't have adequate visibility? Are there important issues in your town or region that aren't getting coverage? This is your chance to give a voice to the voiceless. You don't have to have experience, and you don't have to come into KBOO's Portland studio. You can contribute from wherever you live. If you have some basic writing skills and a desire to get the word out, we want you. Just send an email with your idea and contact information to newsdirector, that's all one word, newsdirector@kboo.fm, and include the words citizen journalist in the subject line, and the news team will contact you. Once again, send that email to newsdirector@kboo.fm.
Good morning, and welcome to Fight the Empire. Now, here's your host, Pear.
Good morning out there in Radio Land. This is Pear calling in from Brooklyn neighborhood of Portland, Oregon. And my question for today is Donald Trump a fascist? This was brought up earlier on Linda's call-in show, and it's serendipity. And I got an article in Vox, is a online journal, and they interviewed five experts on fascism and asked the same question, is Donald Trump a fascist? And basically the answer was no. And let's go into that a little bit more. The answer, according to these five experts on fascism, the main point of fascism is that it attempts to dismantle democracy. Doesn't attempt to play games with democracy or whatever. It attempts, as part of its program, is to actually get rid of democracy. Where what Trump is doing, he is using democracy for his own purposes and whatever. I think a lot of people, they think of fascism as kind of institutional bullying. In other words, if you have a lot of bullies and violence and threats, and that is equivalent to fascism. And well, whatever you want to call it, that's not what these five professors would deem the real definition of fascism. So the experts at the magazine Vox talked to was Roger Griffin, Matthew Feldman, who wrote, Robert Paxton, Stanley Payne, and Kevin Passmore. These are all, I think they're all professors, and you can look them up. And so an interesting quote from Roger Griffin, who wrote the book called The Nature of Fascism, he said, you can be a total xenophobic, racist, male chauvinist bastard and still not be a fascist. So that is sort of the issue in a nutshell. Fascism is more than just organized bullying. And so that's why Trump, whatever he is, and I think it's pretty pretty bad, is not a real fascist. To me, Donald Trump, somebody defined him as a malignant narcissist. And I think that's pretty good to start. A malignant narcissist. He thinks the world kind of revolves around him. That is sort of my answer and the answer of these five writers on fascism to that question. So if anybody wants to call in, the number to call is 503-231-8187. Do you think Donald Trump is a fascist? Give us a call, 503-231-8187. Some interesting things are going on in the world. Let's say, as everybody knows by now, a tiny virus has kind of brought down all the world's economies. That's why I'm calling in from home. That's why everybody at KABU is doing their programming from home, is because they are able to do their work at home. Not everybody can do that. We have our staff is at the station, doing the work that has to be done there. And this virus has brought down the economy in a particular way, that people, if you're sick at home, some people who are sick at home can't work, they still need to, they can only consume, they need their daily sustenance, as it were. People who can work from home, what do they do? A lot of them are creatives, and managers who can phone in. They can set up a office at home, and they can do their work because it's all involves going online. And that leaves out a lot of people who do what we might was sort of called in quotation marks the real work. People who risk their lives because they have to be out in the world doing the work, like the people who bring me my mail every day. They have to be out there. Mail doesn't get delivered by itself, so you need somebody to actually take it around, put it in the mailboxes. The bus drivers, all kinds of people, factory workers. We do still have factory workers, even though we're shutting down a lot of our factories. There are people, the farmers, the agricultural workers, most of all. People have to be fed. People need their sustenance, and people out there doing the work in the fields and the farms, and all of these people in what you might call the real economy, they are underpaid. They are what you might call the sort of the working class. Not the managerial class or the investor class, but, this sort of leads to a question that if we want to restart the economy, how much of the economy can we restart? Because because of what the virus is doing to our communications, it's kind of separate. It's put everybody apart in their home, in their little offices, and it's not coming together in a real economy. If anybody wants to call in, number to call is 503-231-8187.
We do have a caller, actually. Roger wants to chime in.
Okay, Roger's on the line. Good morning, Roger. Hello, Roger.
Yes, hi. I can just barely. I think I'll hear you better now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, yes, whether or not Trump is a fascist is I think an important question that does not have a yes or no answer. For me, I remember one quote from Mussolini, head of the fascist party, who said that fascism is the perfect union of government and industry.
Glad you brought that up. Go ahead.
And I think the more interesting discussion would be how many ways is Trump does Trump have fascist tendencies? And then the elaboration on that is, I think, would be interesting. I'm sure you can proceed with that. The thing I came across just yesterday talking to my wife was that what's the relation between Nazism and fascism? They certainly were friendly enough for quite a while, and the one distinction is that the Nazis, as a central precept, had racist tendencies.
Well, Italian fascism did too, only not to the degree that it happened in Germany.
Yes, and the Italians were kind of proud of how they protected their Jewish community during World War II.
Well, they didn't. They didn't. I mean, it's like
yes. Well, truly, no Italian is the same or could be grouped the same way. But anyway, the alacrity of pursuit of racist ideas was different between the two. And so maybe I'd like to hear you discuss what are the fascist and Nazi tendencies that Trump is manifesting.
Well, it's interesting that you. I'm glad you brought up this earlier definition where fascism is kind of the joining together of government and corporations. That was sort of almost like the standard definition at one time. Well, it was Mussolini who brought it out, but it seems to have been downplayed. As far as I can tell, if you go online now and look up definitions of fascism, there's all kinds of other, hallmarks. And the corporate and government conjunction is kind of played down. And I think it might be because if that is true, then you can have fascism in many different ways. In fact, there was a fellow named Bertram Gross about 50 years ago, wrote a book called Friendly Fascism, and he was talking about the U.S. Economy and the U.S. Form, where the corporations were definitely running things in cahoots with the government. They didn't have the brutality that you had in Germany and Italy, although it wasn't. It was not a picnic, but right now I think a lot of people, they think of fascism as kind of institutional bullying, just sort of violence for its own sake, and including racism and all that.
Could I interject?
Sure. Yes. Go ahead.
The zeitgeist of a corporate entity, I would say. brutal bullying is the norm in a healthy, could be described as a norm in a healthy, aggressive corporation. What do you think?
Well, I haven't worked for any corporations for many, many years. I suppose the closest thing I worked for corporation was in the newspaper business, and that was not a very corporate environment, so I don't know. But I do know I have friends and loved ones who do work for corporations, and yeah, maybe corporations are different, there's a lot of bullying goes on, but I think somehow I think this country has evolved in a kind of way of getting people to do what the corporations want in a sort of a non-violent it's a very slick way of doing things here. You don't have the open threats that you do in maybe in other economies in other countries, although Trump seems to be really pushing the limits on that. Trump is basically, he's a bully, an egomaniac. He tries to portray himself as a leader, but I think he's really incompetent at that. He's just a kind of an empty vessel. And so, maybe it's a good thing he is incompetent. If he knew what he was doing, he might really be dangerous. He's dangerous enough as an idiot, but anyway... That's my take on Donald Trump.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call. Anyone else has their take on is Donald Trump a fascist? Number to call is 503-231-8187. We are right now, like I said a while ago, the reason I'm calling in from home is that, this... virus has kind of basically shut down the economy. Kind of amazing when you think about it. A tiny little virus has brought down all the world's economies. It has brought down the mighty war machine. Recently there was a case where a Navy sailor on the aircraft carrier USS Theodore Roosevelt, he got the virus and he died. The last I heard, these are probably old figures by now, there's a crew of 4,800 on this aircraft carrier, and the virus has struck about 585 of them. Now, that was a few days ago, so it's probably more. And this one sailor actually died from it. And the interesting thing is that the acting Navy Secretary, a man named Thomas Motley, he completely lost it. He blew up at the ship's captain, who had just stood up for his crew, saying that in public that the that his crew were actually in danger because they were in confined quarters, and there's not much that the Navy can do about it. And that truth-telling so angered this acting Navy secretary that he blew up. He insulted the ship's captain, and he just I think he finally he had to quit. And it's, I think it's because people are real, at least some people in the war machine are realizing how vulnerable they are. They think in terms of military might and everything else, and here they are being brought down by a tiny little virus. You know, any Navy ship, if you've ever been on one, the quarters are very confined. You have you can't have social distancing on a Navy ship, or basically any ship, even a cruise ship. And so
here we do have another caller that would like to chime in.
Well, okay, we have another caller. Hello, you're on the air.
This is Sam.
Sam, good morning.
Thank you. I wanted to bring up another topic, and that is the threats against the U.S. Postal Service. I think Trump is terrified that vote by mail is going to get some traction, and the Republicans have been trying to kill the post office for years and years. I wondered what your take was on.
Well, yeah, really, boy, I'm glad you brought that up, because you're speaking to a guy who worked for the post office. I'm actually, that's one of the jobs that I'm retired from. I was a carrier and then switched over to being a clerk. And the post office, maybe people don't realize the post office is one of the oldest government institutions in this country. I think it was started by Benjamin Franklin even before the United States became an independent country or something like that. But the post office, they perform a valuable service. I mean, without the post office, I don't know where we'd be. And it's a, I found it a good place to work. You're doing useful work. I found out that the most creative people were the clerks and the carriers. Now, when you get up into postal management, you're getting up into, people who are, say, less intelligent and less creative. But, yeah, the post office is still there, still delivering our mail. And so Trump, a lot of people on, among the conservatives, they really resent the post office because this is a government service that really works. It could work even better, but it works. And so there's been this move to privatize the post office. It's been going on for quite some time. They have private mail delivery or private package delivery services. And I can't say that they are any better or any cheaper than the post office. I don't know if you've tried mailing a package from United Parcel or any of the other package delivery services. I think you'd get a better deal if you go to the post office. And so this has been going on for quite a while. Donald Trump seems to be adding to it. And I think there's also this possibility of voting by mail. Now, here in Oregon, we have vote by mail, and it works wonderfully. It works fine, and people are trying to make that a national thing because there's a question of just what the virus will do to our mail delivery and our elections. If you can't have people gathering together in small places,
that kind of that strikes a blow at the usual election setup, where you have people lining up to vote, you have people there taking their votes and putting their ballots in the box and all that. And so vote by mail is a is an answer to that. So what Trump, I think Trump rightly feels that the more people vote, the less likely he is to get their votes. And so he is striking out at the post office. So I'm glad the caller brought that up. If anybody else wants to chime in, the number is 503-231-8187. Do you think Donald Trump is a fascist? Well, he's a bully and a narcissist and everything else. But according to some professors who studied the rise of fascism, he is not a real dyed-in-the-wool, a real, strictly speaking, a fascist. He is all kinds of other bad things, but being a fascist is not one of them.
Pierre, we have one more caller, Jack, on line three.
We have one more caller on the line. Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Okay, very good. A quick note on Trump. What annoys me about him more than anything else is that he's a Philistine. and that's just too bloody much. But going on to what I really called about, if you're following, I'm sure who can avoid hearing about the pandemic every day, if you listen to any media at all. But you know, there's a lot of reports in the alternative media suggesting that the pandemic is really a plandemic. And there's too many angles to cover in a short message, but here's a couple simple points. One, Germany's death rate is about 0.3%. That's of the infected people, okay? And some are calling that due to robust response. Others, however, due in large part to widespread and effective testing, okay, which we don't have here. We don't have hardly any testing at all. John Hopkins, however, continues to report the rate at 2%. And I have to ask why. You can find it reported at 0.3% in other places. So that's a curiosity to me. And then there's one other small point, maybe not so small. The MSM, the mainstream media as we know it, always gives the numbers for this as raw, never per capita weighted. Okay, so it's more realistic to be per capita weighted, of course, but it's less scary. And that's, you know, it sounds very, very scary to hear that the U.S. death toll now is over 20,000. Well, there's 300 million people here, though. So if you go to the website that's run by, actually, it's run by John Hopkins. If you go there, you find that we're at maybe, I think now we're at 40 per million or something. So that you can find the per capita stat there, but it's never reported in the mainstream media that way.
I think what's happening here, I said this before, is that this virus, it spreads very quickly. It's sort of guaranteed to keep on spreading because you can be spreading it without even knowing you have it. And so it's kind of a thing that everybody gets it. Now, the death rate may be very low, 2% for some people, for some groups, but even 2% of everybody is a huge number of people. So, yeah, a lot of people are dying because everybody is getting it, and a small percentage of them are dying from it.
Well, yeah, and you know, the other thing is this. I mean, so we're at 20,000 deaths now. The deaths from the seasonal influenza annually average between, say, 25 and 75,000, average about 50,000 a year during the regular flu season. Okay, so I know this is a shorter period of time, but I would be surprised if the deaths in the U.S. top out at over 50,000, which is the average per the annual flu season. the regular
well, we're getting near the end of the show, so I think
what
right
I'm
now
saying is I'm thinking it's a plandemic. I'm starting to pay attention a little
yeah,
bit more.
I got to end the show right now.
Gotcha.
But this is something, all right, folks out there, you can do your own research. That's what the that's what going online is for. You can look it up, check it out, check out all the you know, there are lots of people who are saying that you know, a certain amount of human contrivance at work here. I don't know myself. I don't know enough about it, but do your research, look it up, and we'll be back back again with you 2 weeks from now. Stay tuned to KBOO, your radio station.
Coming up next is Flashpoints, right here on KBOO.